And welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Steve Potter in for Don Marsh today. Well, Valentine's Day is Sunday, and if you're in search of something to do this weekend to help set the mood, we have a couple of suggestions. Later in the hour, dancer Mackenzie Howe of St. Louis Ballet will join us for a preview of that group's performance this weekend at the Two Hill. In It for Love includes work set to the music of the Beatles. We'll also meet British composer Francis Potts, who's in St. Louis for a Valentine's Day concert by the St. Louis Chamber Chorus that features the Midwest premiere of his work, Languish with Love. We begin with a look at some of the week's top news stories. Joining us now for Behind the Headlines, St. Louis reporters Rachel Lippman and Jason Rosenbaum, and news editor Shula Newman. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks, Good Steve. Day.
Thank you.
Is there any debate at all about what this week's top story is?
Shake Shack, obviously.
Shake Shack?
Shake Shack.
I was going to try to get to that later, but no, obviously, it's Ferguson.
Again.
Yes.
What else is new?
Is any of us actually surprised by this? No. I'm assuming you want us to tell us what happened. Right, Steve.
Well, I know, Rachel, just this morning you met with Ferguson Mayor John Knowles.
James Knowles, but yeah.
James Knowles, excuse me.
So backstory to those who might need a little reminder is over the past about 25 weeks or so, the city of Ferguson and the federal government have been negotiating a consent decree that would settle some of the civil rights allegations made in the report released almost a year ago, outlining a lot of constitutional violations in the way the city was running its police department and its municipal courts. And at the last minute at a meeting on Tuesday, which Jason attended, the city council voted to make some amendments to it, which the Department of Justice took as a rejection. And the very next day, Loretta Lynch went, hey, we're taking you to court.
And Jason, you were at that meeting. Was that a surprise to anyone? And, you know, what happened?
I think it was a surprise to a lot of people in the audience and to reporters. It took a few minutes for us to really grasp what was going on. But once the amendments started coming, I think that it was pretty evident that they were going to basically accept some of the consent decree and reject other aspects of it. And it comes down to cost. One of the biggest knocks against this proposed consent decree is that it would heap even more financial burden on a city that is already dealing with big budgetary problems. And I think that they wanted to use some of these amendments to mitigate the cost that will effectively be passed on to Ferguson residents through higher property taxes, higher sales taxes, and who knows what other levies will come down the pike.
And Mayor Knowles just described that decree, I think his words, calling it a poison pill?
Well, he called one aspect a poison pill, and that was a provision that kept the consent decree going if they disbanded their police department and contracted with another police department like St. Louis County, or maybe in the realm of possibility like the Florissant Police Department or the North County Cooperative.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I think was a big sticking point when we all read the decree, that there was really no way for them to disband their police department and get another police department to contract with them, because what police department would want to have to deal with that consent decree? But on the other hand, Thomas Harvey of the Arch City Defenders noted the things in those consent decree are things that police departments should be doing anyways, and that really shouldn't be a hurdle. So,
right. And what's more, if they did end up going to, say, St. Louis County took over the Ferguson Police Department, they're already operating under consent decree agreements. They're already operating, doing a lot of the things that would be required in this consent decree, in the Ferguson consent decree. So it's I've just read an article about that. You're giving me a crazy look.
Natural face. No.
Not a consent decree. I'm sorry. Under an agreement of recommendations that
right.
the Department
they
of Justice laid out last
Justice.
Fall.
How common is it for a municipality or a city to tell the Justice Department, well, here are the conditions?
Well, you've had about 60-plus departments come under some kind of pattern and practice investigation, which is what Ferguson is working under now. About a third of those have resulted in lawsuits being filed and that a consent decree was either rejected or they couldn't come to an agreement that was acceptable to both sides. The vast majority of those, that subset of cases, were eventually settled. Only three have ever progressed to a trial, and it's 50-50. The Justice Department won one. 50-50 right now. The Justice Department has won one. A county in North Carolina has won theirs, and there's a third now in trial. So we don't know what the outcome of that is.
And for you listening at home, if you have any questions about what's happened and what's happening regarding this topic, this is your chance to ask a question from some people that have been there on the scene covering it. So if you have a question, please feel free to join us at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Well, now Ferguson, just I guess yesterday, has a new city council member. Does that make any difference?
Not really. I mean, the vote was unanimous, and this was done before that council person, Laverne Mitchum, was appointed. That was kind of a side issue that had stoked a lot of consternation because Mitchum had received 3 out of 5 votes from the city council in order to be appointed, and the Ferguson city attorney said that you needed 4 votes because of some legal precedent. That made a lot of residents really unhappy. But I think after they made their controversial decision to amend the consent decree, they then appointed her unanimously, almost without any sort of controversy. I think that quelled that considerably.
A little bit. Yeah. I think you still have a lot of people. And Mayor Knowles insists this isn't the case, saying, you know, you're taking this to court in an effort to attempt to get out from any of these reforms, that, you know, you wait out the clock or, you know, you just don't do any of this thing because these things because you're not mandated to. He disputes that. He points to a whole bunch of body cameras and civilian review board that they're going to be launching soon and other policy changes. I think you have a lot of people concerned that none of that is mandatory. None of that is, you know, they can't – there's nothing to enforce. They could change their mind tomorrow and it wouldn't matter.
Well, explain something to me. I have a question. There's been criticism of the council for what they've done, saying that it's, you know, not being sensitive to the black residents there. But some of the council members are African American. Yeah. So is that a fair criticism?
Including Wesley Bell, who helped negotiate.
The council now, with Mitchum being appointed, has 3 African American members, 3 white members, and a white mayor.
But this vote was unanimous, right?
The vote was unanimous. And again, I think that the decision here came down to cost. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much money the consent decree will end up costing because they would actually have to carry through it and actually incur the cost before we know 100% for sure. But I don't think there's any question that since they're being asked to do a lot of different things and the consent decree is very thorough, that it's going to cost the city a lot of money. And it doesn't really matter if you're a policymaker in Ferguson. It doesn't really matter whether you're African American or white. Like, cost becomes an issue when you're trying to keep this town financially solvent.
Deciding that, okay, we're going to – you know, now they're being sued and this could potentially end up in court. Yeah. That could also be several million dollars.
Knowles said he thinks they're actually at the point where it will cost less to sue and fight and try and roll back some of these requirements, either via negotiation. This isn't going to go straight to like a contested trial. There'll be set out guidelines for, you know, we'll take this to mediation. And I think they're hoping that they have enough money to get to that point and try and reduce some of the burden and – you know, split the baby, basically.
314-382-8255, 382-TALK is our number. Let's take a call. Ron is calling from Ferguson. Ron, you are on the air with Jason Rosenbaum, Rachel Lippman, and Shula Newman. Go ahead.
I guess my question would be, what is the end result the Justice Department is trying to accomplish? You know, Sir Ferguson is the most diverse neighborhood in the entire St. Louis area. There has never been any problems among neighbors whatsoever. Yes, they had problems with a diverse workforce and the police and fire. But other than that, any document that's 131 pages is a waste of time. If they had came out with a document with 8 bullet points on it, I would say that would be sufficient that didn't have a lot of cost in it. Adding $15 million onto the backs of the people of Ferguson is ridiculous. And I think the Justice Department should take that document and use it for toilet paper.
Thank you, Ron.
I don't really know if I have a response to that. That's more of a commentary than a question.
So. I mean, I think what they would say is, you know, look, we have documented these serious problems in the findings they put out last March that exist not just in Ferguson, but throughout North County, as we've mentioned several times, and that this is attempting to address the problems that they faced. And they feel it needs to get this granular because it was a policy. It was a policy to go out and try and raise money off of ticketing. And you have to get this granular to really change things. It's not just a matter of training people that, you know, pulling over black drivers because they look suspicious is wrong.
Right. And it's not so much that this decree is specifically, it's about, as Rachel, you said earlier, about policing and the Muni courts. It's not about the neighbors and the way that people get along because, yes, Ferguson is very diverse and is a really warm community in that way. It's more about the policy and the people who carry those out.
You know, Loretta Lynch put it in her speech on Wednesday when she announced when she announced the lawsuit that, you know, these people feared for their police department. It's not that neighbors feared others. It's not that the neighbors didn't get along, but this is specifically addressing the police department.
I want to bring up a point that the caller just made. If I understood him correctly, he said that Ferguson people have a history of getting along in Ferguson, right? Did I misunderstand him?
That seemed to be the point that, you know, neighbors like neighbors. I don't dispute that.
Well, my point is, you know, Ferguson doesn't seem that way if you just watch the media reports. So, you know, don't you find that an interesting contrast? People not from Ferguson think that it's, you know, in the middle of turmoil and people from there saying, hey, you know, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean, Ferguson is probably one of the more diverse North County communities. I think it's like 67% African American and 33% white. Many other North County communities have become less diverse over time, especially as the whites have moved farther west and African Americans have moved in. And you know, Ferguson is still pretty diverse, and I think that you hear a lot of anecdotes about people of all races living next to each other and being friends and being neighborly. So I think that may be what the caller was trying to say.
Right.
Yeah, and I think, you know—
That gets lost in the coverage, though, doesn't it?
Well, I was just about to say that that's the problem with, you know, depending on what media outlet you look at. I mean, I think we here at St. Louis Public Radio, if I can toot our horn a little bit, have really gone along. We've made an extra effort to try to portray the community as what it really is, a community that developed this downtown area that's very— fun to go to, actually, with the good restaurants, a community that comes out at events that has this wonderful farmers market. So I think it just depends on, you know, which media you're watching.
I don't think you can deny, though, that some of the what happened after Mike Brown and sort of the aftermath can become a wedge issue in the community. You may have some saying, look, this isn't a problem.
Right.
And you have the people who have been targeted by the behavior the DOJ found saying, well, that's because you're not affected by what's going on here.
Chuck is calling from Jefferson County. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hi, great talk here. You know, local control of government is very important. It promotes community pride. Most communities, and I've been in this for 61 years, I've never heard of a community that has incorporated with the purpose of having a police department. Generally speaking, they need services. They and usually it's land use issues. If you here in Jeff County, we have like Burns Mill and Olympian Village, where we have policing. They call them speed traps to raise money. But the fact is, they were organized and incorporated to provide services. And I think the same thing applies to Ferguson and many of the small communities in St. Louis County. They lose their policing when they incorporate. Yet they don't lose the taxes that they have to pay to St. Louis County. And so they are then forced with hiring policemen on a small budget. And you'll find that most of the community budgets well exceed 50% of their expenditures go to paying for their policing.
Thank you, Chuck. I think Rachel wants to respond.
I don't think there's anything in state law, and Jason, you're probably a little bit more familiar with this than I am, that says if you incorporate as a city that you have to have a police department. There's numerous examples of municipalities across the county that contract with St. Louis County or with other departments to patrol their streets. In fact, that's where the North County Police Cooperative comes from. It's three departments that banded together.
And I'll just chime in on this point, which is somewhat related. There was a lot of talk from people that didn't live in Ferguson, mainly from national people, I think last year, strongly suggesting that Ferguson should disband its police department and contract with St. Louis County, which apparently is a big sticking point of this consent decree. But when I've talked to ordinary Ferguson residents and Ferguson policymakers, that is just not popular among people in Ferguson. They like the idea of being able to have a police department that they can hold accountable locally. And they feel that if they contracted with St. Louis County, it is a It is a very well-regarded police department. Don't get me wrong. It's internationally accredited. It has very, very capable officers. But there's a feeling that if you contract with them, you won't have as much local oversight because they're also patrolling a bunch of other cities as
well. Part of
the
services that people want when they're in a community is their own police.
So. And it's not exactly like St. Louis County is all that loved in Ferguson either.
But at this point.
That's another issue altogether.
Exactly.
We have a tweet from Sean Michael who says, I'm in Ferguson on a regular basis because of friends here. It's a wonderful area with very friendly people. And Shula, I want to ask you about something. On our website, we've had some interesting images of photographs that our staff has taken that sort of reflect, I guess, the mood or the feeling. I don't know. Would you comment on those?
The images that Carolina Hidalgo has?
Yes.
Yeah, our photographer. Basically, we just sort of finding new ways of telling the stories and having a designated photographer now in our newsroom. She's just able to go and capture capture expressions in ways that our reporters haven't been able to do, not because they're not good photographers, but because they're reporting on, they're worried about sound quality mm-hmm. and they're worried about interviewing people. And Carolina also talks to people, but she's just really able to capture the spirit and expressions in such a great way.
I'll just remind people they should check out our website for that.
Absolutely.
And all the reporting that Rachel and Jason and other reporters have done. Let's take this call from Keith in St. Louis County, and I think he has a beef with the Department of Justice. You're on the air, Keith.
Actually, I don't have a beef with the Department of Justice. I just wanted to make this quick point is that people are being critical of what the Department of Justice produced in collaboration with the leadership of Ferguson. The problem is that the leadership did not take into account any of the serious reports of discrimination and mistreatment. So this is the result of being leadership that does not want to get involved in doing what's right. And there's a cost to not being able to or not wanting to respond to discrimination. They had reports that police were discriminating against people of color. They have data now, and it shows that they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And so when you get caught not doing what you're supposed to do and not providing good leadership, then there are costs to that. And part of this cost is that the DOJ is now got some demands that they want, and so they're going to get sued. So this whole thing is, we can't afford to make these changes, we can't afford to fight. That's not fair. What's fair is the leadership should have been responsive. It should have done things to, you know, make sure the police department was following proper protocol and doing what they were supposed to do, and then they wouldn't be here. So
thank you, Keith.
Yeah, and I think that another point that's been brought up to probably to Rachel and I is now by getting sued, it brings up over the possibility that more people are going to come forward and talk about their experiences with Ferguson Police Department, which may not be helpful toward their case.
And can't the city change its mind on this?
Oh, sure. Sure. They could at any point go and say, yes, we agree with this consent decree. As I understand it, it wouldn't stop the litigation. It would just make it a settlement. It would be, this is how we are going to settle this lawsuit.
And there's been some speculation, has there not, that the city might be doing this just to put it off because with the new administration in Washington next year, maybe that'll change how this comes.
It's not out of the question. I mean, it's an open I think it's a fair assumption that if we have a President Clinton or a President Sanders, that they probably would continue on with mm-hmm. this lawsuit. But if you have a President Trump or a President Rubio, you have to wonder what type of different mentality is going to be put in the Justice Department toward this. And I think the other question I brought up via Twitter during the Democratic debate is, I would wonder if a Democrat got elected, whether the DOJ would force other cities in St. Louis County to sign similar consent decrees. And I'm not just talking about in North St. Louis County. I'm talking about every part of St. Louis County, even wealthy areas, which have had racial profiling issues.
Yeah, to that point, and also to something that Keith said, is, you know, Jason, when you and I were talking earlier about this, that you can have this consent decree, even if they had accepted the consent decree in Ferguson, it doesn't change the way that any other municipality in the county is doing business. And those are, and I'm sure that if the Justice Department looked into any of those counties, they would find similar conditions.
Keith's absolutely right. There is a cost to unconstitutional policing and a cost to do constitutional policing. To the point about waiting out the Obama administration, I did ask James Knowles this earlier today when he was in to do an interview for NPR, and he said that that had nothing to do with the legal strategy, that wasn't part of its calculation, that politics had nothing to do with it.
We have an email from Lisa who suggests that people who doubt there is racism and injustice in Ferguson, she says, read the Department of Justice's lawsuit. It's only 56 pages. It's all documented there. I wonder how many people will do that.
Well, we've read the lawsuit and the 100-page report that came out last March. And I don't know that you have, and maybe just not in the circles that I'm running in, I don't know that you have anyone disputing that there is racism in there anymore. Maybe as this was first coming out, it was like, oh, well, this is just kind of overblown. I think she's right. I don't think you can dispute that anymore. Yeah.
Well, now that we're on that, talk a little bit about the mood. We've talked a lot about the facts. But the mood over the last year, when you go to these, Jason and Rachel, when you go to these council meetings and press conferences and things, what's the mood in the air?
It's changed since 2014, obviously, because 2014 was an unprecedented international media blitz I don't think we've ever seen before. And now it just like comes in waves, and it seems like this town of 20,000 people has to kind of experience like a surge in interest in them every time that there's a major development. And, you know, I think that they now have more staffing in place to prepare for that. But, you know, I think if you took any city of Ferguson size and put them under this type of scrutiny, I would be difficult for them not to, you know – it would be a difficult thing for it not to be difficult for.
All right. So it's been over a year since Michael Brown and all the aftermath began. Is anyone surprised at what's happened this week? Is that a surprise to anyone?
I don't think anything surprises me anymore. But
cynical.
No, I mean, Ferguson as a city was given a set of options that were going to be consequential no matter what they did. If they decided to accept this consent decree, there would have been a cost associated to it, but there was a promise that it would have transformed the government in a positive way. If they didn't accept it, there's a possibility that maybe they could get a better deal, but there's also the possibility that they lose and spend a lot of money doing it. So any city, again, put in that situation will have to make a choice, and the choice is going to have consequences.
Yeah, I would say I was surprised at the tactic that they took to basically reject the consent decree without actually rejecting it. So they can say, well, we said we are accepting it except for these seven conditions. Yeah, so that was surprising. But everything else you say, I agree with you completely.
I think they took what they saw as the best of not great options.
Right.
Well, I would ask you all to look ahead and make predictions, but I wouldn't do that to you.
And yet you just did.
No, not really.
I mean, I don't see this necessarily going to a full-blown trial. Maybe when they go to mediation, they'll, you know, get a little bit. They'll be forced to, but.
Anyone with a final word on that?
I mean, I don't know how this is going to end up. Maybe Ferguson ends up taking a deal, but unless other cities with policing problems are held to account in the same manner by the Department of Justice, I'm not really sure the atmosphere for African-American motorists or African-Americans changes that much in St. Louis County.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And when it comes to things related to Ferguson, I've learned not to even try to predict.
Well, I want to thank Shula Newman, Rachel Lippman, and Jason Rosenbaum from our news department for this. You know, coming up, we're going to preview a couple of events celebrating Valentine's Day, which is Sunday. So as informed and dedicated journalists, any love advice for our listeners? Who's had the most experience? Jason? Well,
wait, you didn't tell us you were going to ask us.
I don't know. Buy flowers, buy chocolate, and be kind to each other.
If you celebrate it however you feel is best.
And Shula, most importantly, flowers or chocolate for you?
Flowers.
Chocolate.
Okay.
For Rachel.
Can't agree about anything, can we? Thank you so much. It's been fun talking to you all.
Thanks, Steve.
And we'll continue with more St. Louis on the Air right after this. This is St. Louis Public Radio.